to offer you this lesson from Unity of the Keys Spiritual Center.
I have to test the water. I heard my sister was going to put tequila in it. It's okay, I'll be fine. Just the right amount, yes. Thank you, music team. That was wonderful, as always. And thank you, Catherine, for your lovely meditation and all the extra stuff that you did this morning. Thank you, Gary, for being able to hear me. Oh, and my thingy. Thanks, Eileen. So, Holy Child of God, I think you probably have heard me say that a few times in meditation. Well, it started many years ago. I was part of a group of about 8 of us, Unity members, that got together informally but very regularly to discuss our day-to-day lives and apply Unity principles to them. It wasn't a formal class, but we were very committed to it, and it was very life-changing. Well, one time, I remember, I was complaining and thinking, well, that's never going to happen. I'm not good enough for that. I'm never going to get that. And my friend Margarita looked at me and said, but you are a holy child of God. Oh, okay. She set me straight. And she said that every now and then, and that's the first time I ever remember really saying that. So thank you, Margarita. I am a holy child of God, and so are you. I am. Will you please say that with me? I am a holy child of God. So what does that mean? A lot of things. It means that you are beautiful. You're a beautiful holy child of God. As holy children of God, we have inherited many gifts and talents. And as we recognize and share our gifts and our talents, we shine our light and make the world a better place. We are all unique and beautiful. That's what I'm going to attempt to talk about today. I could probably do a part 3, a part 4, maybe a part 2 before the part 3, but yeah. So, we have many gifts and talents. Before I go into this, I just want to say that we all know that God is a spirit within us, not a person in the sky, but the Bible and I may both personalize God just a little bit to get our point across, so bear with me. So when we first see ourselves as children of God, we might want to think of God as a person, and just as a person, a human parent cares for and nurtures and provides for their child, so does God provide for and care for us. In Luke, fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Proof right there. Matthew, this is one of my favorites. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. It's a nice perk of being a child of God, isn't it? Just, it's all going to be okay. We are provided for. Not to worry. Have faith and know that we are divinely cared for. Many of us are in mastermind groups or have been possibly. One of the steps, one of the parts of the mastermind prayer simply says, the mastermind, and I translate that as God, is providing me with all things necessary to live a successful and happy life. Done. Just know that. So, we move on. Let's accept that as holy children of God, and let's move forward to the juicy part of the talk. Genesis. Then God said, let us make man in our image according to our likeness. That doesn't necessarily mean what we look like. As humans, we inherit physical traits. We inherit spiritual personality traits, qualities, through our genes from our parents. But as holy children of God, we inherit many spiritual qualities. We inherit gifts and talents, goodness, wisdom, all the 12 powers. So, for some people, It's very obvious what their gifts are. Some people are famous for them, world known in the history books. Isn't that nice to be quite famous, well known for your contributions, for your talents, for what you share, for your service to others, for social change, for humanitarianism, for improving the human existence? Here's a few of those people. He's beautiful. So is she. We all know these people. I watched Hidden Figures last night. Gotta love her. And him too. One of the older, ancient ones, I guess. So that's just a few, and we might not all be that famous like that, but as holy children of God, we do shine our light. Look at all our beautiful musicians here, our Unity singers and musicians, and all the songwriters of the songs that they sing. They're creating that beautiful music that inspires us every Sunday. Singing is like praying twice, right? They invoke these wonderful emotions in us. They open us up. It's good things to hear. And then, of course, there are some professions, jobs, careers that are deemed sort of noble on a whole. And unfortunately, we don't all have those, but some of us do. There are some that we feel these people are doing God's work. The teachers, the caregivers, the nurturers, the nurses, the counselors, the therapists, the scientists, finding cures for diseases, and of course our spiritual leaders. And then there are other professions where it might not be quite as clear. So sometimes we may have trouble realizing, knowing, sometimes we may doubt that we really have gifts and we're really sharing them. Is that true that any of you ever have had that doubt in your mind, ever? I have. Anybody else? Yeah. Maybe even right at the second. No, I'm kidding. Marianne Williamson in A Return to Love addresses that. She says, who am I to be brilliant, gorgeous, talented, and fabulous? Actually, who are you not to be? You are a child of God. Oh, she said that too. We are all meant to shine as children do. We were born to make manifest the glory of God within us. It's not just in some of us, it's in everyone. And as we let our own light shine, we unconsciously give other people permission to do the same. Sorry, the tequila's good. So you do have gifts and you do share them. It might not always be one great recognizable trait or action, but there are many ways that you show up in the world and shine your light. No matter what you do for work or what your hobbies are, it's not always what you do, but sometimes it's how you do it. How you do it, how you go through your day. When you choose to interact with love, that shine in your light, that show in the beautiful, holy child of God that you are. When you are peaceful, when you're generous, when you're kind, when you're compassionate, and you are, when you show your gratitude, when you find patience even when you didn't think you had any left, when you make someone smile or laugh, when you give and receive hugs, any random act of kindness, of course, is showing who you really are. When you encourage someone, when you see the good in someone, when you see the possibilities in a situation, in a building, when you have kind words, when you forgive, you're showing who you really are. When you volunteer to help, that's really a big thing. Whether it's an organization, our church, when you help a friend, a neighbor, you're helping. That's nice. That's giving. That's showing the God in you. That's when you're sharing the world, your gifts, and making the world a better place. When you meditate, and you do, most Sundays at least. And when you pray, now that's huge. You're connecting with the Spirit of God within and asserting positive beliefs when you pray. Positivity for yourself, for others, positivity for the world. Who here prays? That's it? Thank you. You didn't know there was going to be audience participation. So you are using your gifts for good. I'm just going to keep saying that you are beautiful, holy children of God, until you really believe me. I'm just going to keep saying it. I'm not going to leave. I'm just going to stay here all day. So anyway, I'm going to prove to you right now, that you are showing your beautiful self, that you are a holy child of God, and you are doing good for the world. And that is because you're here. You're part of this spiritual community. And as part of this spiritual community, you believe and you share our mission and our vision. You do show up as part of this community and you celebrate your oneness with God. And you do see humanity awake to its divinity. You see that. You hold that vision for the world. And you see the world fully experiencing love, fully experiencing peace and abundance. You are a holy child of God. So I showed you some pictures of some really famous people who were holy children of God. And now I'm going to show you some pictures of not so famous people. Just a handful I kind of randomly chose are Evelyn. She's famous. I heard that. Evelyn founded our church. She's guided us for years. Evelyn is always the keeper of the flame, always encouraging and loving. Evelyn is so dedicated to prayer, to affirmative unity prayer, uplifting the world. Our current spiritual leader, I love Debri, that she sees the spirit within all of us. I really believe that. I feel that. And she's so uplifting. And I think that she really empowers people. She got me up here. Our platform assistant, yes. Not only is she a talented singer and musician, she teaches yoga. She's a wonderful platform assistant, beautiful meditations. But Catherine makes me laugh. Her sharp wit makes me laugh and think at the same time. And that's brilliant. That uplifts the world. My sister. She did put tequila in my water. She's like the ultimate volunteer. You may see that here at church. She's been here a couple years, but she's like taken over so many things. But she's like that at home too. She always goes the extra mile. She's like the best sister in the world and the best aunt in the world, a loving and supportive mother. And what a lot of you see that I'm just realizing is that she's funny as heck. She's never afraid to get up and dance, and that uplifts the world. Our Jody, she's not here to have me talk about her today, but Jody just has such a passion for life that it really shows. Have you ever noticed that? And something about Jody is she really loves to make people happy. There's so many times when I look at someone and I think, wow, your hair looks really pretty, or, oh, I love that outfit you're wearing, but I don't say it. I don't know what's wrong with me because I forgot I was a holy child of God for a second there, but she says it. So thanks, Jody. I'm glad he's here to have me talk about him today. Now, Joe and I have known each other for a lot of years in a few different capacities, but what really strikes me about Joe right now, in this moment for the past year or so, that doesn't make sense, does it? Well, anyway. Joe, whenever he has a chance, expresses his gratitude on a small scale or a large scale. Anytime Joe gets the floor, he starts thanking everybody in his life. And what a beautiful way to be. What a way to share with the world, you know, your gifts, to have that grace, that thankfulness. And he's a lovely father figure as well. Here's our Justin, steadfast member of our music team. Justin has been leading Course in Miracles for how long? How many people, how many thoughts have changed? How many minds have expanded? And Justin is always loving, always steady and calm. And whenever I talk to Justin, it amazes me how positive he is. Just some of our angels. Naomi's not here either. Now, Naomi was part of that group that I talked about with Margarita and the Holy Child of God thing. She's a really good listener. She really thinks before she speaks, and she has really wise things to say. And you might not have known that Naomi used to teach karate to children. You know her as our bookkeeper, our volunteer bookkeeper. And one of her gifts is that she's really good with numbers. And thank goodness she is, because not all of us are. So thank you, Naomi, for your wisdom and cheerfulness and your ability to deal with those numbers. My buddy, we go back years too. Captain Terry, we sailed on the Schooner Wolf for many years together. Terry's been the babysitter of my kids. She's taken care of my dog, my cats. Soon she'll be taking care of my bunny. Terry's always been very accepting of people. That's one of her true gifts, and she might not even realize that. And she's very loving. And so her nurturing and caring abilities help so many people when they need to hand over their kids or their pets for a little bit. Okay. So this last person, you don't know her, most likely. Her name is Elizabeth Ellis, and she is a professional storyteller. She's actually world known. She's received many awards for her storytelling, and her storytelling really has inspired so many children, so many adults. She uplifts the world with her stories. She entertains, uplifts, inspires, makes you think, says beautiful things. And she is a beautiful, holy child of God. And so now, for the rest of this little time I have up here, I'm going to tell you one of her stories. I have to get into character. That's why this was here. So you know my name is Elizabeth Ellis. And well, what you don't know is when I was younger, about 12 years old, I guess, that's what this story's about. When I was younger, they used to just call me Lizbeth. Lizbeth, come over here. Lizbeth. Well, it was about that time when I was about 12 years old when I first started to really look in the mirror. And let me tell you that what I saw, I was a bit underwhelmed, you could say. I think my mother was too, because she used to look at me and shake her head and say, Lizbeth, you can't make a silk purse out of a sow's ear. Well, I'd look in the mirror, and I was about as big and tall as I am now, and, well, I was just covered from head to toe in freckles. Freckles, head to toe. Well, and it was summer, and I was spending the summer at my grandfather's farm, and I had the occasion to be there with my cousins, and I had this one cousin. She was just a little bit older than me. Her name was Janet Elizabeth. And she sounded a lot like, I mean, she looked a lot like her name sounded. Janet Elizabeth. She had a waist so small, man could just put their hands around it. And they did. Well, she had that waist-length, naturally curly blonde hair. But her most unforgivable sin was her flawless peaches and cream complexion. I just couldn't help but think that my life would be so much better if I had beautiful skin too. At least skin that was all one color. Then I found it in the back pages of one of Janet Elizabeth's True Confessions magazines. I found an advertisement for freckle remover cream. Freckle remover cream. I saved my money and I placed my order. That was going to change my life. The advertisement said that the freckle remover cream would come in a plain brown paper package. Plain brown freckle color, of course. Well, for purposes of discretion, but plain brown paper or not, I made my way to that mailbox right about the time the mail came every day, because if my family found this package before I did, there was no way I was going to be able to open it in private, and I would never hear the end of it. Finally, after 3 weeks, I got to the mailbox, and my package had come. I quietly took that package and I went to my room and I closed the door and I sat on the edge of the bed and I slowly opened it. I was looking at a miracle. I was sure this little jar of cream was going to change my life. I was so excited, but I couldn't bring myself to put it on. What if it didn't work? What would I do then? I actually went to bed that night without putting the stuff on. Well, the next morning I woke up and I looked at my freckles in the mirror and I said, Elizabeth, this is silly. You've got to do it right now. So I did. I opened that jar of cream and I put it on really carefully. You know, I didn't want to miss any freckles. And I put it on my face, and then I thought, well, if it's going to work, I might as well put it everywhere. So I put it on my arms, and I put it on my legs. And well, there wasn't much of it. I could see I was going to have to get a part-time job just to keep myself in freckle remover cream. So I was covered. I was ready to go. My life was going to change. I went about my business of my day. Just know it was doing its work. And at Grandpa's farm in the afternoon, well, that meant in the afternoon we would go and pick up our hoe and go down to the holler and hoe tobacco. I was there hoeing tobacco all afternoon with my cousins and my brothers, and it was hot and sweaty. And when you're out hoeing tobacco in the holler, you're not exactly in the shade. So when I got back to the house, I got myself a glass of water, and I heard my family saying things like, I don't think I've ever seen Elizabeth with that many freckles before. Elizabeth, what's going on with your skin? So I quietly went into the bathroom and looked at myself in the mirror. And I quickly discovered something about freckle remover cream. When you wear it in the sun, it has the opposite effect. My freckles were more bountiful. My freckles were bigger. My freckles were darker. I looked as though I had leopard blood in my veins. I was just crying. I locked that bathroom door and I just stayed there and I wouldn't come out. My mother called me to come for dinner and I just ignored her. I wasn't going to go. And she came to the door and she said, now, Elizabeth, you come out right now and you eat your dinner. And I just flung open the door and ran past her and ran out the house and ran up to the well house and threw myself on the floor. I was still sobbing when my grandfather came in to see what was going on. Well, I told my grandfather all about the freckle remover cream. And he didn't laugh at me. Although he did say I might get an equally good result if I were to bury a dead black cat at the light of the full moon. Clearly, he didn't understand. So I tried to explain to him why I wanted to have beautiful skin, why I didn't want to have freckles, and why when I compared my appearance to that of Jeanette Elizabeth, that I felt inadequate. Well, he just looked at me and he shook his head and he said, there are all kinds of flowers, child, and they are all beautiful. But clearly I didn't understand, because I shouted back at him, I've never seen a flower with freckles before. And I ran out the well house, back down to the house, and went in my room and slammed the door. I was good at slamming doors. Well, my mother came, and she tried to get me to open the door, and I wouldn't let her in. And so she started to talk to me and say the kinds of things that parents say at a time like these. And then I heard my grandfather come up to her, and he said, just leave her alone. And she did. She was a grown woman, but he was still her father. And she listened to him when they left me alone. And I cried myself to sleep that night, feeling so sorry for myself. I cried myself to sleep. And when I woke up in the morning with my crying, sleepy, red, swollen eyes, I turned and saw on the pillow right next to me. Well, I don't know where Grandfather found it, because it was not common in these mountains. But right there on the pillow next to my head was a tiger lily. Thank you.
This is Reverend Debrie Toms. If you felt spiritually fed by this lesson, please feel free to hit the Donate Now button. And if you are ever in our area here in Key West, please drop in. God bless you on your journey.